So, good to be back. We're going to start Perek Dalet, the fourth Perek of Tanya, which is Hashgacha Pratis, because this week is Shavuos, of course, the day we receive the Torah. And this Perek is very famous. This Perek and the next Perek, Perek Dalet and Perek Hey, are very famous in the way the Alter Rebbe describes Torah, what is Torah, and what we accomplish through learning and keeping the Torah. So, very important. Now, so what I'm going to do is I want to try and get into the teeth of the Perek. So I might not do everything inside, but I'll point out to you where we are. So let's give a bit of background. So until now, in Perek Gimel, in the third chapter of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe talked about the 10 powers of the soul, 10 powers of the Nefesh of the Kis, the godly soul, right? He explained that length, Chachma Bina Das, Chachma is the creation of a concept, Bina is understanding, Das is connecting to it, as we explained last time. And then he said, it's only when you engage both in Chachma Bina and Das, and they're called the parents, right? Chachma Bina called mother and father, and then connecting to it is called Das. That's when you give birth to Midas, to emotion. He explained emotion over here, he talked about the 7 emotions, but he just mentioned the 2 primary midas, which is chesed and gevura, which in the context of the nefesh of a kis is love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. I gave a few examples of how when one reflects and understands deeply the concepts of the greatness of Hashem, we give birth to an amazing attraction to Hashem, a yearning to become close with Him, and also a awe of His presence and not wanting to violate anything that he tells us not to do, and so on and so forth. Okay. So that's the 10 powers of the neshama. Now, Alter Rebbe goes into a concept called, I'll just give it a bit of background, called Levushim. Levushim means garments, right? That in addition to the raw 10 midas of the Nefesh Elokis, and the Nefesh Habamis, but now we're talking about the Nefesh Elokis, the godly soul. In addition to these 10 raw powers, the Neshama also has what's called 3 garments. Garments, what is a garment? Just like by a person, a garment is a means of expression. In other words, we express ourselves in particular ways when we put on particular garments, right? It's not just about covering up, it's also about how we express ourselves. That's why people dress differently when they go to a wedding or on Shabbos or on the weekday or when they play sports or when they're casual, right? It's different. Why? Because you're expressing yourself in different ways. So too, we have spiritual levushim. And spiritual levushim are basically, in other words, just like garments are not the person itself, it's the way we express, it's the way we express ourselves. So too, in the soul, the 10 powers, at least in the context of the way he explains here in Tanya, the 10 powers of the soul, Chochom, Das, and so on, that's the soul itself. That's the abilities of the soul itself, right? Whereas the Levushim, the garments, are the way the soul expresses itself. In other words, you can have a feeling, it's sometimes hard to, especially when it comes to, there's 3 Levushim, 3 garments, Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa, thought, speech, and action, right? Even in thought, which is harder to understand, thought is also a garment. Thought is a means of expression. Thought's not the ability of the soul. So, for example, it's hard to separate, but in concept, it's separable. Like, for example, if I have a feeling of tremendous kindness and compassion, the raw feeling of compassion is coming from my neshama, it's coming from who I am, but I express it, even to myself, I need to express it. I express it to myself through thinking about it, right? Does that make sense? So, thought for sure is a way of expression. It's easy to understand. We talk about speech. Speech is, we can have a feeling, we can have an idea, a concept, but we can't express it to anyone else unless we go through the levush, the garment of dibur, of speech. And the same thing with action. We express ourselves through our actions. Okay. Let's have a look just how he uses this idea in the beginning of Perek Dalet. He says, V'oyed yesh l'chol nefesh elokis, furthermore, there is to every nefesh elokis shloisha levushim. 3 garments. Now, what are these 3 garments when we talk, again, it's thought, speech, and action, but specifically, what are the 3 garments when we talk about the godly souls? He says, Shehei machshava, dibur, umayse, shel taryag, mitzvus ha-toyre. These are the thought, speech, and action of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. Right? So, he introduces a concept like this, that we know, even though there are 10 powers of the soul, but actually in Kabbalah, breaks it down further, actually, it comes out, there are actually 613 components of every soul. And that's the idea. The idea is to dress up each component in one of the garments of Torah Mitzvahs, right? That's the concept. He says, "Kesha'odom mekayim b'maisa," when a person fulfills in action, called mitzvahs, maisias, all the action mitzvahs, ubedibur, and in speech, who oisek b'feirush kol tayag mitzvahs, he involves himself and he's busy with the explaining and understanding and learning about the 630 mitzvahs, the Hilchos Seyan and the Halachas, right? He speaks about it, he talks about it, discusses it. Or in thought, who masig, he grasps and understands, kol masha efshaloi lehasig bepardei satoira, all that's able to be understood in the orchard of Torah. You know what pardes means? Pardes means orchard, but it's an acronym for the four components of Torah: pshat, remez, drush, and zoy. The literal meaning, the things that the Torah hints to, the interpretive meaning, the midrashic meaning, and the esoteric meaning, right? So when that happens, Hare klolus taryag evrei nafshoi melubashim b'taryag mitzvah satorah. Then the 613 components of his neshama are enclosed, they get dressed up in the 613 mitzvah satorah, right? That's an amazing thing. That's the ability that we have to take our body of our soul, so to speak, the essence of the soul, the 10 powers of the soul, and enclose them, dress them up, through, express them through the machshava, dibur, and maisa, the three garments of Torah and mitzvahs. Clear? Now, let me just explain outside what he's about to explain. The thing is like this. If we break it down, it's not so simple either. Because we can understand it more with the Chochma bin Adas part of the Neshama. Right? So Chochma bin Adas, that expresses itself mainly in Machshava and Dibur. Right? So we have the thinking of Torah, when we think about Torah. When in our mind we grasp as many concepts of Torah that we're able to grasp. We speak about as many concepts in Torah we're able to speak about, explain them, understand them, communicate them, and so on. So when we do that, obviously, our Chabad, our Chochma bin Adas, is expressing itself through Machshava and Dibur, right? That's easy to understand. Part that's harder to understand is that the next part of our Neshama, which is the seven Midas, they presumably express itself through what? Also through thought, right? Sometimes speech. But he's going to explain that they express themselves and they get dressed in the action of Torah mitzvahs. Now, that's a bit harder to understand. How does a feeling express itself in action? Yeah, you following? So he explains like this. Explains because the true primary midas, again, in context of the Nefesh HaLakis, the two primary emotions is Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, right? Love and fear of Hashem actually fuel and inspire and bring about proper observance of Torah mitzvahs. The Zohar says, it doesn't mean you're going to hear the Zohar, but the Zohar says that the two emotions of Ava and Yira, love and fear of Hashem, they're like two wings of the bird. You have the bird itself, then you have the two wings. How about if a bird doesn't have wings, it doesn't fly? It's a bird, but it doesn't fly. So it can't function as a bird, right? So too, you need really some. That's why we have this mitzvah. And most of the mitzvahs are action mitzvahs, but we have two mitzvahs of the Torah that are actually feeling mitzvahs, which is love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. Okay, a separate story how you come to it and how can you command on a feeling. The Rambam talks about it. Normally comes through learning and through exploring, and then you give birth to the feeling and so on. But it's those feelings that give birth or steer or inspire observance of Torah mitzvahs. And more specifically, how it works is as follows: that he brings here in Tanya that avas Hashem, love of Hashem, brings about mitzvah sasei, positive commandments. They're 248 positive commandments. Simply put, when you love someone, you want to please them, you want to do what they want you to do. So therefore, the more avas Hashem, the more love of Hashem we have, the more inspired we are to do another mitzvah. Right? Put up a mezuzah, light Shabbos candle, whatever the mitzvah is. Yeah. Conversely, yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, when you're in awe of someone or embarrassed of someone or scared of someone, whatever the way that awe can be, or yira can be translated as, different madrigas, different levels, when you in that sort of mode, you don't want to do anything to displease the person. So therefore, fear specifically brings about is the life force of mitzvahs leisas, they are the negative commandments. Okay. Let's just see this inside. So therefore, when we have love and fear, which is really the driving force of our middos, then our middos, how does it express itself? How does the love of Hashem and the fear of Hashem express itself? Through performance of mitzvahs. And that's why, that's where that levush connection can be made. So the levush, the garment of middos, is mitzvahs. Practical mitzvahs, action mitzvahs. And that's the connection because they inspire the performance of mitzvahs. Let's have a look, just we'll go through it quickly, over here inside the Tanya itself. It's that line where he says, Uber Protus, more specifically, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top. Third line from the end of the line. Third word from the end of the line. He says, Ubi Fratus, more specifically. He said, until now I just said generally that the 630 components of the Neshama express itself in thought, speech, and action of Torah mitzvahs. Now he breaks it down. He says like this. Ubi Fratus, more specifically, Pchinis Chabad Shebenafshoi, the Chochma bin Adas in his soul, Melubashoi, is becoming clothed, become expressed, get dressed in, Bahasogas HaTorah, the understanding of Torah, Shu Masig Bepardes, which understands in Pshat Rebbe's Drush and Soed, Kefir Cholis HaSog, as much as he can possibly grasp it, the Shorush Nafshe L'mayla, each person understands it differently, depending on his ability, depending on the origin of his soul. Some people have higher souls, lower souls, loftier souls, and so on. So that's Chochum Mir Hadas. We think about the idea. V'hamidus, how about the midus? Shein Yira V'ava, we talk about midus, we're specifically talking about fear, and love and their derivatives, the anfein v'tol desein, the extensions and their derivatives, that gets melubashes v'kima mitzvahs. That gets expressed through actually doing mitzvahs, b'maisa action, and sometimes b'dibur. Which mitzvahs in dibur? There's a number, right? Basically, mitzvahs besides the feeling mitzvahs and the believing mitzvahs, most mitzvahs are action. And some of them are speech. Learning Torah, for example, is speech. Not so much the understanding of Torah; it's more the learning of Torah, that's different. Understanding of Torah is more Chabad. The articulating Torah, which is the mitzvah, right? You only really fulfill the mitzvah of Torah when you say it, when you say the words. Davening, for example, making brachas, all these things. These are benching, these are dibur, these are speech mitzvahs, right? So the midos, the emotions, get express themselves in the dibur and maisa, in the speech and action of the mitzvahs, right? And he gives an example of a dibur mitzvah, of a speech mitzvah. Shu Talmud Torah, which is the learning of Torah Shekhanega Kulam, which is sort of corresponds to all the mitzvahs, the biggest mitzvah. Now, what's the connection between the emotions and the midas? He says, Ki yo'avo, because the love, who shayrish korah mach mitzvah saseh, love is the source of all 248 positive commandments. Umimen noheinim shachas, and from love they come. They are drawn from the love. They're created by the love. Ubil odam, without love, ein lohen kiyum amiti. They will not endure. They will not be permanent. Why? Ki amakaimon be'emes, because if someone really fulfills the positive mitzvahs, who is that person? Who are oyev v'shem Hashem? He's the person who loves the name of God. V'chofes ledovka boy, and he wants to cleave to him be'emes truthfully. V'efshar, he knows that it's impossible ledovka boy be'emes to cleave to Hashem truly, authentically. Unless it's through the 248 mitzvahs, Shehein, Ramach, Avri, Namalka, which are known as the 248 limbs of the king, meaning it's like 248 limbs of Hashem, so to speak. Kav Yochel, so to speak. That's love. How about fear? Vehayira, fear, he shayrish l'sasalo. As I say, that's the source of all 365 negative commandments. Why? Ki yore limroi de melachim lochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he's on a very basic level of fear, he's afraid to rebel against Hashem. Or Europe, Nimis Mizu, or we can talk about a deeper level of fear. He's not afraid, not scared, but Shemiz Boishesh, he's with Lassa. He's like in awe, he's almost embarrassed from the greatness of Hashem. Lam Rois Einei Kvoidoi, to be sort of rebelling against the eyes of Hashem, the honorable eyes of Hashem. The Lassos Haraba Eino, but to do anything bad in his eyes. Called Toyavas Hashem is the Sonne, to be involved in any negative thing that Hashem hates, which are Hema Klippus for Sitra Achra. They are the Klippus and the Sitra Achra, right? The impure things in the world. which take their nourishment from a level we call Adam HaTachton, and where do they hang on to? Where does the clipper attach itself to? The negativity attaches itself to what? In the 365 negative commandments. So therefore, because we have this embarrassment or fear of Hashem, we never want to engage in those 365 activities because we don't want to do anything to bolder the clipper, because the clipper is something that Hashem despises, and we don't want to do anything to displease Hashem. Okay. So that's how it works. Okay. So that's the soul and the levushim and the garments. Now he goes into... I did this a little bit quickly because I want to sort of spend more time on the next part. He says the following. So let's just give a bit of background here. Normally, when you talk about a human being, right? The body of the human being and the clothing that he or she wears, right? What's secondary? What's primary? What's secondary? Primary is the person himself, and secondary is the garments, right? Here the chiddush is differently. Here the chiddush is that the garments of the nefesh elokis, although we call them garments for reasons because it's not the neshama itself, it's the means of expression of the neshama, right? However, the three garments of the nefesh elokis are far superior than the nefesh elokis itself, right? When I say nefesh elokis itself, I mean the nefesh elokis, how it evolves and comes into the body, right? So that needs a little bit of explanation, because before we said the nefesh elokis is like an extension of godliness, so to speak. But Chassidus explains that's true, however, it's still an entity, it's still affected by the seder ishtalshlus, because don't forget the neshama comes from the level of the supernal chochmas we learned in chapter 2. But as it comes down the various worlds, different souls are affected more, but all souls are affected somewhat. And therefore, when they become ready to actually enclose in a body, they're still godly, it's still completely radically different to the rest of creation, but it's still an entity. You can't say the neshama and God are mamish one as it comes into the body. The origin of the neshama is very high, right? And I guess the pintali, the essence of the neshama remains that way. But the neshama as it is, as we are in... as a created neshama, so at a developed neshama, the way it bonds with the physical world, it's somewhat affected by the physicality of the world and its journey throughout all the levels that it had to travel through to get here. And therefore, it's not as high as Torah mitzvahs, right? And what we're going to learn is that Torah mitzvahs does something to the neshama that the neshama cannot do on its own, right? For reasons which we're soon going to explain. He says the following. The Hine, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. The Hine, Shloisha Levushim Eilu. These three garments of the Nefesh Lekis, which is, as we said, Meha Torah U Mitzvah Yisrael, these are the garments of Torah and Mitzvahs. Af Sheni Kroim Levushim Le Nefesh Racha Neshamim. Even though they are called garments of the soul, and he always refers to the soul as Nefesh Racha Neshamim, right, which is the three levels of the consciousness of the soul, right? Im kol zeh, nevertheless, gova v'godlo ma'alosa. Their value, their greatness, is far superior, high and superior, le'ein keitz, infinitely v'soif, without any end and sort of finiteness. Much, much greater, al mailas nefesh ruach u'neshama atzmon, than the value and the quality of the nefesh ruach u'neshama itself. Why? Like it says in Zohar, the Oraisa v'kutcha brichu kulochad. In Zohar it says that the Torah and Hashem are completely one. Meaning, Torah is not something, right? This is the first thing to understand. Torah is not something that Hashem created. It's not something that Hashem developed. Torah is the wisdom of Hashem. Torah is the will of Hashem. That's what Torah is. Right? So he says, what does that mean, Pirish? The Oraisa, what is Torah? Hi chochmasa yuritzoyne shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah, which is the wisdom and the desires of Hashem. And we know, we learned this in Perek Beis already, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoidoyu v'atzmoy. Hashem himself, together with his wisdom, kul achad, are completely one. Why? Because Hashem is indivisible, like the Rambam says. Ki hu ha yodev, hu ha madeh chulu, turn over the page. Kumei shekasev leil b'shem Rambam, like we brought before in the name of the Rambam, that you, by a person you can divide up him and his intellect. You could say there's me, there's my power to understand, there's the concept I'm understanding. That's a divisible thing by a person. Even though by a person, even this intellect is much more closer to him than the table, for example, but still it's three separate things. But by Hashem, you don't do that. Hashem is one thing. In other words, Torah is an expression of Hashem. That's what it is. And therefore it's one with Hashem. Right? So now we have to understand this. What does it mean, one with Hashem? See, when we say Torah, this is something we need to understand through this parak of Tanya, and then we'll understand the greatness of Torah. When we think about Torah, right? Think about something you've learned. Not in Tanya. I'm talking about, Tanya talks about more godly things. I'm going to say, let's say you learn, I don't know, think of a halacha. You learn about eating cheesecake on Shabbos, okay? Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. You learn Torah. You see there's halacha that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. There's a minute to eat cheesecake on Shabbos. Okay. Or cheese. Cheese. Right? And there's all kinds of reasons. So you learn the reasons. You learn because the Yidden were Matan Torah and they didn't have a shecht, or there was two korbanos, or Torah is compared to milk. And then by extension we learn about the laws of meat and milk and so on and so forth. Okay. So when we understand that, we understand what is Torah. Torah is talking about things that belong to this world, right? Things that we can understand, right? And that's what it is. Torah is given to us to understand because Torah talks in our language. The problem with that is if Torah talks about a language, it seems to be part of this context. It seems to be part of our reality, right? Which is why people often make the mistake that Torah is like a commentary on creation. Although Hashem created a world and then needs to tell us how to live in this world. So he gives us Torah and mitzvahs, right? And this has fairly good source. For example, just to bolster this, there's a Gemara because we're before Shavuos, right? There's a famous Gemara in Shabbos where Moshe Rabbeinu is up on the mountain. He's going to get the Torah. He's up in heaven, and the Malachim block the way. The Malachim say, "Give us the Torah," right? They say to Hashem, "Give us the Torah." So Moshe Rabbeinu says, so Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're on your own. You've got to answer them. Be your own advocate. You've got to put a good argument in to demonstrate that you should get the Torah, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Malachim, what do you mean you want the Torah? What's Torah? What's the purpose of you having the Torah? What does it say in the Torah? I am Hashem, your God, I took you out of Mitzrayim, right? You went down to Mitzrayim. In Malachim, you were in Mitzrayim. It says, on your parents, you have parents. It says, don't steal. Don't commit adultery. You have a Yetzirah. Malachim have a Yetzirah. They want to steal. They want to commit adultery. Right? Torah is irrelevant. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying, right? Which sort of bolsters this idea that Torah is a handbook of how to live in this world, right? But the truth is, nothing can be further from the truth. It's not like that at all. You know that in I'm just giving you a bit of background to what we're about to learn. In Bereshis, right, we know the Torah begins with the letter Bay. It's a famous idea. Right? It's a famous idea. Why didn't the Torah start with an Aleph? It starts with letter Bay, right? Why? So many, many reasons are given. Bay is Bracha, all kinds of reasons. One of the reasons that's given, brought down in Chassidus, Kabbalah. Because the Torah we learn is a second layer of the Torah. It's not the original Torah. Meaning, it is the original Torah, but not the language which we learn in it is not the original language. What does this mean? It means like this. Torah is an expression of Hashem's wisdom, and it's got nothing to do with the ox, or the cow, or the cheesecake, or the meat and the milk. And at the same time, it has everything to do with it. What does that mean? Torah is an expression of Hashem's wisdom. But Torah in its purest form is the same wisdom and the same desire, but not expressed in human terminology. That's why the Gemara tells us Torah kodma lo'olam. Torah preceded the world. What does it mean, preceded the world? We always have this problem. Preceding the world is a funny language because time and space is a creation. So what do I mean? You can't. There's nothing before the world because there's no time. When we say something comes before the world, we mean it transcends the world, higher than the world, right? And by the way, and then we'll learn that Torah evolves, and eventually what Hashem does is He gives us the ability to understand the Torah through our terminology and to apply the Torah in our context, right? And by the way, this is on many, 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 many levels. That's why, going back to that Gemara, right, when Moshe Rabbeinu had a good answer, right? He told him, well, did you go to Mitzrayim? Did you come out of it? So Chassidus asked the question, I mean, the Malachim was so stupid. I mean, what did they want the Torah for? Right? They knew they didn't go down to Mitzrayim. They knew they're not going to steal. They knew they have no parents. So what was the discussion to begin with? The Malachim are smarter than that, right? And the answer is they didn't want the Torah the way it is on this level. They wanted a higher Torah. They wanted a Torah where Mitzrayim means something different and father and mother means something different. Because everything we learn in Torah, everything we understand in the human terminology can be learned and studied and understood and expressed on a completely different level, right? I'll just give you a simple example. Even what we learned in Perek Gimel, father and mother doesn't necessarily mean a physical father and mother. Father and mother can mean Chochmah and Binah, for example. Just to give you an example, that terminology doesn't mean the way we understand it necessarily, right? There's a whole thing I learned once about one of the Rabbeim describing how Torah is learnt in heaven. So there's a Mishnah, a famous Mishnah about Shnaim Oichzim Betalis, right? Two people are holding onto a garment. This one says, I found it. This one says, I found it. Right? It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah when we see it. And this Rebbe was explaining how it's learnt in Gan Eden. That a talis means that it's an neshama, and shnayim oichzim betalis are two malachim claiming they have merit. Whatever, the whole thing. It's different, same idea, same wisdom, but a different level altogether, right? I'm sorry.
The Torah, did it go through?
Yes, it did, but it didn't. That's what we're going to explain. Different to the neshama, it does go through sedei shtals, but in a different way completely. That's what we can explain in a minute. Yeah. So it does. It evolves on many, many, many different layers. Torah comes from the Torah as Hashem's wisdom. The truth is, the root of the Torah is even higher than this. But the explaining the Chassidus that the Torah, the way, in other words, the Torah as a wisdom and as a desire of Hashem starts from the highest level of Atzilus, which is Chochmah. Same origin as the Neshama, by the way, right? And from then it evolves down. So the way Torah is an Atzilus is a completely different Torah. Yeah. Now. Said that Hashem gave us the Torah because when we understand the Torah, we become one with Hashem. Why? Because a raisa v'kutsha brichu kul achad. Torah and Hashem is one. Yeah? And therefore, when we understand the Torah, we become one with Hashem. Now, let's understand what this means. So now it develops. It says like this. Top line there. It says, v'afta HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra ein soif. Even though Hashem is called infinite, there's no end, there's no exploring Hashem's greatness, we'll never understand it. And the Zohar says, "V'les machshava tfisa beklal." Right? No thought can ever grasp Hashem. Hashem is ungraspable. The same thing when it comes to Hashem's will and Hashem's wisdom even. It says there's no understanding, there's no ways to access Hashem's wisdom. If you research Hashem, will you find him? No. And it's also written, Hashem says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So what is this idea that we learn Torah, we grasp Hashem? What does that mean? He says like this, beautiful thing. You know, Amru, on this Chazal told us, B'mokim sh'atomoytzei g'dulosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you find the greatness of Hashem, Shom Atom Moitse Anvisanusoi. That's where you find his humility. What does that mean? Because with Tzimtzeim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem used the word Tzimtzum here, although the Mefarshim here doesn't explain, it's not the same idea of Tzimtzum always, but Tzimtzum means here, he kind of squeezed in. Hashem squeezed in Ritzoinoi V'Chachmasoi. He took his wisdom, he took his desires, which are infinitely transcendent, and he squeezed it in, b'tayag mitzvah satoyra, into the 630 mitzvah of the Torah. U'behilchoy sen, and the halachas. U'betzirufei oisiyas Tanakh, and the words of Tanakh. U'drashah sen, and the interpretation of Tanakh, which can be found, shaba'agodes u'midrashay chachomei nuzal, which can be found in all the midrashim, and all the agodes of shas, and so on and so forth, right? Hashem put it in, it's much higher than these terminologies. It's much higher than these letters. It's much higher than meat and milk. It's much higher than an ox and a donkey, or someone smashing a window, as we learn in Gemara, all these different halachos, right? But Hashem took His wisdom and squeezed it in to the Torah the way we have it, which is the letter Beis, by the way. It's the second level of Torah, right? He squeezed it in to a different level of Torah. Why did He do that? Because, b'chdei shekol ha'neshama, in order that every neshama, oy ruach v'nefesh v'gufa adam, in order that every neshama, which is in the body of a human, tuchal lahasigon b'dayto, should be able to grasp the Torah. Meaning, had Hashem left the Torah in its original form, we'd never be able to understand it. But Hashem took His wisdom and his desires and squeezed it in to your human context, to your human confines, to human language, finite language, right? In order that every neshama which is in a body should be able to understand it. Ulekaimon, and to fulfill it, kol mashe efshel lekaim, as much as we are able to fulfill, b'maisa, b'mehen maisa dibur machshava, in action and in speech and in thoughts. And through that, in order that we can take all our 10 powers of our neshama and dress it up in the Torah, express ourselves through the Torah, become one with the Torah, which in turn means become one with Hashem. Yeah. Now he gives, see, that's why in Tanya you have to have like a tradition, because not everything, you just read the Tanya yourself, you don't always know what the depth is. So, here, the next thing is very deep, and the commentaries in Tanya explain. He said like this: V'lochein, therefore, nimshala ha-Torah l'mayim. That's why Torah is compared to water. You know that Torah is compared to water, right? It says many places in Chazal that compares Torah to water. There's one of the Nevi'im. One of the Nevi'im says to people, if you're thirsty for Hashem, you need to go learn Torah. And it says, "Hoy called summer, all those that are thirsty, l'chol l'mayim, go to the water. You are thirsty, you got to drink." Meaning, if you're thirsty, you're going to learn Torah. Right? Why is it water? What's the analogy of water? Ma mayim yordi mimokim gavoy lemokim nomuch. Just like water comes from a high place to a low place, kacha Torah yordo mimokim kavoyda, so too, the Torah came from its original glorious place, shi rotzoynoi v'chachmasa yizbarach, which is the original, pure, undiluted, so to speak, will and wisdom of Hashem. The arise of the Kachabrichukulachar, a place where Hashem and His Torah are completely one, the less machshor tvisa beiklal, and a level which no thought, no human thought could possibly grasp. And what happened? Umishom inosa v'yarda, and from them it traveled and came down. B'seiser hamadregos, in the hiddenness of the levels. We'll explain what that means. Mimadrega lemadrega, from one level to the next, b'hishtal shlus ha'olamis, to the evolution of the worlds, ad shenislapsho, until it came down into and expressed itself through dvarim b'dvarim gashmim, physical things, v'inyono olam hazeh, shein rov ha'mitzvos kulam, which are most of the mitzvos have to do with things in this world, v'ilchasein, and their halachas, and it came down to a physical book, u'b'tzirufei oisias gashmis b'dyoal ha'sefer, and it came down into physical letters, ink on parchment, Esrim v'arbo svarim, 24 books of the Torah, Nevi'im eksuv min Tanach. Why? Kadei shetei kol machshava tfisa mehen. In order for every human thought to be able to grasp the Torah. V'afilu b'chinas dibur u'maise, and even speech and action, shelamata madreich nesham, and even which is lower than thought, which you're able to grasp it through thinking about Torah, through observing the Torah, and so on. U'mislabeshos behen, and express through them. Now, let's unpack this a little bit. What did we gain here? How's it different to the neshama? Neshama also comes from a very high level. Also traveled through Seder Hishtalshlus, right? Give me a second. I want to just pick up here one word that which I saw explained very beautifully. One second. Yeah. So the neshama also came down, right? Also traveled through a journey. So again, we have what's called Seder Ishtal. So Hashem first expressed himself through the 10 spheres of Atzilus, which we've explained before, right? Which is his world, and him and that world are completely one, that we understand. And then there's Tzimtzum, and it goes down from one level to another until we reach this world. The Neshama also originates in the first level of Atzilus, Chochmilo, and also travels down to this world. So does the Torah. So what's the difference? So what do we gain by connecting to the Torah? What does the Neshama gain? The Neshama is here godly, but it's come through the same Rishlashas. And the Torah also came through the same Rishlashas. So what do we gain? What we gain is as follows. The big difference how it comes down. So normally this expression of traveling down from a high level to a low level, and the concept of Tzimtzum means that the lower level it comes down to, the more it's affected by the concealment of Hashem. So the world is like that. The world is the best example, right? The world originates with Seder Ishtalshlus, and then it goes down and down, and Hashem's presence is less and less and less until you land up with a physical world that completely hides Hashem's presence. Okay. The Neshama is different. The Neshama is not affected as much from Seder Ishtalshlus. It goes down, but it's somewhat affected. The fact that it comes down from one level to the next, it retains its godliness, but it becomes formed and altered in such a way where it relates to a more physical existence. Right? And therefore, the neshama down here, at least the conscious part of the neshama, we call the nefesh, ruach, and neshama, is different to the way it was up there. Torah is completely different. Torah, the mashal that's used here in Tanya, is the mashal of water. That it travels down. But the mashal is very deep. When you take a jug of water and you hold it in a very high place, and you pour the water, and the water lands up in a very low place. Right? What's the difference between the water the way it was on top, the way it was at the bottom? Nothing, just where it is. Absolutely nothing. Completely unchanged. Right? The chiddush of Torah is that Hashem sends it down like water. He used the word tzimtzum. Hashem squeezed it in somehow. Into the human context, in human language, human understanding. He squeezed it into an environment where a human being can come and learn the Gemara, learn the Mishnah, learn the whatever, the Chumash, and understand it. He squeezed it in a place where his wisdom and his will can be found on a piece of paper, piece of parchment. Right? So therefore, that's what it means to travel all the way down, say the Ishtalshus, but it traveled like an express train. Didn't stop there. Didn't get affected by it. When you learn a Mishnah, for example, when you learn part of Torah, and you understand the concept of Hashem's wisdom, the language is different, the context is different, the communication of the concept is somewhat different. But in that concept is the undiluted wisdom of Hashem, exactly the way it was in the complete origin of Torah. Right? He's going to give a beautiful mashal in a second, you'll be able to understand even more. And that's the chiddush of Torah. That the neshama, which is now enclosed in a human body, and therefore the neshama is somewhat human, and that human being, not only the body, even the neshama, cannot understand Hashem, cannot grasp Hashem, but can grasp Torah. What Torah can it grasp? It can grasp the Torah the way it's communicated in our language. In our context, right? When the neshama grasps that, what is the neshama actually grasping? What's in that human? What's in that context? What's in that human language? The undiluted wisdom and ratzon of Hashem. And the Zohar tells us, Hashem and his ratzon and his chokhmah are completely one. So when you grasp that concept in Torah, what have you grasped? Hashem himself.
Which is one
with Hashem. Which is one with Hashem. That's going back to Rambam, him and his wisdom are one. It goes even deeper than that because the Torah comes even higher than Chochmah Atzilus. But even if you say, even like you're saying in Avir, even Chochmah Atzilus, right? Hashem and his Chochmah are one. Atzilus, Hashem and his Atzilus is one. Right? That's an amazing thing. Funny thing is, now we have to go back and understand the Gemara. He doesn't bring it up. This has nothing to do with it. I'm just mentioning it because it's Shavuos. So then, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you can't get the Torah. The Torah is not relevant to you. What if the Torah is not relevant to you? The setting is not relevant to you. The wisdom is relevant to everyone. The Malachim can understand Torah in a different setting. In fact, they understand more. They probably understand it deeper. They understand it more in its spiritual form. Right? So what's he saying to you? You went to Mitzrayim. They didn't go to Mitzrayim, but they would have learned that the Mitzrayim, how it is, how it means something totally different. Or they would have learned not mixing meat and milk on a completely different thing, different plane, different level, different context. So what's his answer? The answer is a different answer completely. The answer is, the Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, that the purpose of Torah was to land up in our setting. That's the purpose of Torah. Right? Because the whole purpose of the world is Hashem living in this world. So when you learn the laws of Tefillin, the purpose of those laws, the laws of Tefillin is the will of Hashem. The will of Hashem can be expressed in a very high and lofty spiritual putting on Tefillin. Right? We know there's a concept of spiritually putting on Tefillin. So the Malachim wanted that Torah. They wanted to be able to spiritually observe the mitzvahs, or spiritually understand the Torah. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu said, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is the Mitzrayim down here. The purpose is the physical father and mother. The purpose is the person who struggles and has the Yetzer Hara. That's the purpose. That's the answer. It wasn't that Torah is relevant to you. Torah in its physical setting is irrelevant to you. But we don't want the physical setting. Yeah, but that's Torah. Torah's destination is the physical setting. So the purpose of Torah is in the physical setting. Understand? But we learned something here amazing. I mean, there's a few things to understand from this. So many things come out of this. Number one, it takes Torah into a whole different thing. Torah is not a subject. Torah is a godly wisdom. And it's an expression of God himself, but it's a connection to God, right? That's why we know that when you learn a piece of Mishnah, you learn a piece of Chumash, you learn a piece of Halacha, you're learning the word of Hashem. You're learning Hashem himself, right? That's why the approach to Torah is completely different. That means it's an eternal wisdom. It's a completely eternal. It's absolutely true. It's creating a connection that cannot be created through a different means. We have a whole different understanding of what's happening. We're learning Torah. The way it happens is academically. That's the way it happens. But that's not what it is. It's the infinite word of Hashem. Every part of Torah, every word of Torah. Dvar Hashem is the word of Hashem himself. Right? He says like this. He says, therefore, let's a little bit further. So what happens? So what happens is that when we learn Torah, we are taking and observe Torah, we are taking the 10 powers of our soul, dressing it up in the wisdom of Hashem, which is undiluted wisdom of Hashem, just came down to our level like water. And therefore we connect into the wisdom of Hashem in its original form, and therefore with Hashem himself, because Hashem and his Torah are one. And since the Torah and its mitzvahs are now clothing, they're dressing up the 10 powers of our soul, the whole Taryaga, all the 613 components of our soul, Miroi Shabbat, Dragula, from the beginning of the soul to the end of the soul, from the head to the foot. So what's happening? Hare Kula, its entirety, the whole Neshama now, is Tzura Bitzreira Chaim is Hashem Mamish. He's bound up with Hashem himself, Mamish. Like, Mamish is the only way to say, like, Dinkum, Ferdinkum, right? Really, really. And what's happening is the Oyer Hashem, not just the idea of Torah, but the light of Hashem is makifo, malbisho, it's enveloping, it's enclothing, meroisha v'adragla, from the top of the neshama to the end. And as we learn a part of Torah, our whole neshama is now enveloped, it's clothed by the machshava, dibur, and mais, the thought, speech, and action of Torah, which is Hashem himself. It's one with Hashem. Right? Like it says, tsuri echeseboy. Hashem is my rock, I will find refuge in him. It says like the will of Hashem will crown us, will envelop us. Which is the will and the wisdom of Hashem, which are in Torah mitzvahs. It's a whole new insight of what happens. We learn Torah and keep mitzvahs, right? Now, this is an amazing thing. Therefore, the Chazal tell us, it's in Pirkei Avos, right? Have you ever thought of this, right? It says that 1 hour of tshuva and maisim tovim, of serving Hashem in this world, is more beautiful, more greater, because chayelam above from the whole life of the world to come. I'm talking about the great spiritual world. This, doing Torah mitzvah in this world for 1 hour is much, much, much greater. Now, why is that? Why is that? Right? You have to understand, when the neshamas go to Gan Eden, right, they're infinitely more spiritual than we are. They understand Torah at a higher level than we are. Right? But it's very different. Why is it very different? It seems like this. Okay, what's Olam Haba? What is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is Shenani Meziv HaShchina. Olam Haba is the world of revelation, right? Where you are able to derive pleasure from the brightness of the Shechina, from the rays of the Shechina. That's what it says, right? Which is an unbelievable thing. So this needs to be understood a little bit. So it was like this. We still go back to what the Zohar says, that no thought can really grasp Hashem properly, right? And Hashem cannot be... If you're talking about revelation, there's a difference between revelation and connection. Meaning, if we talk about revelation, even the neshamas in Gan Eden, which is about the world of revelation, only a ziv, only a spark of the Shechina can be revealed to them, even though they're such a high level and in Gan Eden and everything like that, right? Why? Because if you talk about Hashem being revealed... No neshama, no human, no nothing can actually properly have a revelation of Hashem himself, right? Let's go back even to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said he wanted to see Hashem. Hashem says, it's not possible. He can show him whatever that means. That's anthropomorphic description. But so he showed him his back. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see the knot of Hashem's tefillin at the back, whatever that means. In other words, some revelation which no other human being was able to reach, and Moshe Rabbeinu reached it. But even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't see the face of Hashem, so to speak, right? Hashem is not revealable. Gan Eden, what's Gan Eden? Gan Eden is a place of reward. It's a place where you get to enjoy. You get to see it. You get to experience godliness in a revealed way. Right? Okay, that's beautiful. That's something you can't do in this world. Which is why, by the way, is the next Mishnah after that says that the Kriyas Ruach, the enjoyment, the spiritual experience of Olam Haba for 1 hour is worth more than the whole life in this world. It says both things opposite, right? Because there, the context is revelation. Revelation is in the world to come. And even there, it's only the ziv, only the spark of the Shekhinah. But if you talk about not revelation, talking about having Hashem, grasping Hashem, holding Hashem, hugging Hashem, that's only in this world. Through learning Torah in this world and through understanding, grasping Torah in this world and keeping a mitzvah in this world. In other words, when we learn a Mishnah, going back to this concept, or we do a mitzvah, do we necessarily, is there a revelation of godliness? No. Right? Like sometimes people even complain. Which, by the way, a very important thing to understand nowadays, because nowadays people are into feeling spiritual. Now, it's a very important thing to try and feel as spiritual as possible, but our feeling of spirituality is extremely limited. And that's not even the purpose of being in this world, right? It's a big mistake people make. We want this world not to be spiritual, we want this world to be godly, right? Sorry? To be godly, right? What does that mean? You could pick up a lulav and esrog and not feel anything. Okay, we try our best to feel something. We learn about lulav and esrog, we. But you do, you try, you have kavanah as much as God. Do you feel godly? Is God revealed to you? No. But you have God. You're hugging God. That's the difference. I'm mentioning it with emphasis because it's becoming now a world of people wanting to, you know, even in religious world sometimes, people want to talk, they want to feel spiritual. So now there's like kumzitzes on steroids, you know what I'm saying? Because we want to feel spiritual. Now, nothing wrong, we should feel spiritual. We should daven, we should sing davening. We have to feel spiritual because spirituality fuels our enthusiasm a little bit, right? That's not the purpose of purpose of this world is to connect to Hashem. It's to have Hashem, to embrace Hashem, hug Hashem.
So does that come from the Nefesh HaBamis, this desire to feel spiritual?
Well, it depends what its purpose is. Sometimes it definitely comes from the Nefesh HaBamis, yes, even though it's dressed up in very godly spiritual terminology. Right? No, because people use that language, people say, but I don't, this doesn't talk to me, I don't feel spiritual, you know, so I'm not going to do it. It's not meant to talk to you. That's not what Torah Mitzvah is all about. Now, when I say it depends where it's coming from, because we do need, like the Chassidus talks about Rotz V'Shuv and these kind of concepts, right? We do need to detach from the physical once in a while. We do need to feel uplifted, because otherwise we won't be fueled to do Torah Mitzvahs. So spirituality is only as a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. The end in itself is doing Torah Mitzvahs and learning Torah and keeping a mitzvah, which can take us to a level which is far beyond.
So you don't have to have that spiritual experience to be connecting?
Definitely not. Definitely not. It's a fundamental mistake.
And you can be feeling the burden of the mitzvahs.
Not only that, it's actually even a mile down. The reason why you have to have spirituality also is because if you only feel the burden, right, and you don't come to some level of enjoyment, then it peters out. It'll damage your Torah mitzvahs after a while, right? But actually, feeling the burden is a great thing. That's why we have chukim. Hashem gave us the chukim without reasons for that reason. Now, there is a concept of enjoying it also, because the idea is that the connection to Hashem should have some impact on our thought process, on our midas, everything. Okay? So we try to serve Hashem with our whole being. That's also purpose of spirituality. So the more we enjoy doing a mitzvah, the more we understand the mitzvah, that's what we learn. We're more inclusive of every part of us in that mitzvah, right? But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to connect to Hashem. And yes, the person gets up in the morning. The famous story with the Tzemach Tzedek. Someone came to Tzemach Tzedek and said, he wants a bracha to be able to learn properly because he doesn't like learning. Doesn't like learning. Tzemach Tzedek said, you're a lucky guy. What should I do? I do like learning. It's a problem for me. In other words, you're greater. Kabbalah soul. When you do something which is a burden, it's actually greater on one level. There's advantages in both. But one thing's for sure, that if there's a choice between feeling the lulav but not actually doing it, or doing it and not feeling, doing it is much greater. Because that's where you grab Hashem.
So the feeling is rather an indication of your refinement? Like you shouldn't be mistaken.
I'm sorry?
The lack of feeling there, it doesn't mean there's a lack of refinement in your limits.
Correct. However, building up a feeling, a general feeling, refines us a bit, so it'll be more, again, it'll be driving us more to do the mitzvahs. Right? And let me put it this way. If you say about spirituality kind of nefesh habamis, it also depends what the spirituality is for. Today, there's a huge movement of spirituality which is the expression of self. It's not an expression of God. Because I need to feel spiritual. Because feeling spiritual feels good. Right? And you don't need Torah mitzvahs. I often get the question from people who are not connected to Torah mitzvahs yet, and they say, can I be spiritual and not believe in God? And to their surprise, I always say, yes, you can. Just, you can't be godly. I mean a different type of spirituality. I mean metaphysical. Yeah, you can go deeper than yourself. I know, right? There's spirituality in other disciplines too. Spiritual means it's beyond the spirit, the physical confines. But even in godliness, sometimes, you know, it's about, because it feels good to feel spiritual. But that's not what it's about. That doesn't refine much, actually. That's nice and enjoyable, and it's better than watching the cricket. But it's expression of self. If it's left sort of, if that becomes the focus. The reason we do need to feel spiritual is because we do need to move ourselves a little bit. We do need to make our world a world of Hashem. In other words, it can't only be a burden, because the foundation has to be a burden. The foundation is that I'm doing it because Hashem wants me to, that's all. And when I do it, and even if I don't feel anything, maybe I have some intellectual kavana and I try. Yes, kavana is important because it's like a soul to the body. It fuels the body. But the main thing is the doing. The main thing is understanding the Gemara. The main thing is understanding the Mishnah, because again, we have to develop an enjoyment of learning, an enjoyment of doing a mitzvah, the idea of simcha of doing a mitzvah. But simcha coming from the knowledge that when I do this, I'm connected. That's it. That's what it is. Not because I feel it, or what's revealed to me, or because I appreciate it. No, the simcha comes because I'm doing it, because I know through doing this, I'm connecting to Hashem. It's a very powerful idea, right? And that's what he says. Let's just do this quickly. Yolam HaBok is the world to come, That's when you enjoy the ray of the Shekhinah. It's an amazing pleasure from understanding it. And therefore no creation, even the supernal creations, are able to really grasp Hashem. Only a little bit. That's why it's called Ziv. It's called the spark of Shekhinah. His glory, no creation can grasp Hashem himself. Unless you grab Hashem the way he is embedded in Torah mitzvahs. Azai tfisa ben. And that Torah mitzvah only happens in this world. Why? The rice of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So only in this world you can actually grasp Hashem himself. Let's learn, can we learn this two, three more lines? Let's finish the chapter. Yeah? Now he says an amazing mashal. Now you're going to ask, but okay, you're getting Hashem himself, but Hashem is wearing all these garments, of physical garments. He embedded himself in a very, very thick physical clothing, physical terminology, right? It's very, very, so it's very physical at the end of the day. He says very simple. What's the mashal? What's the analogy? Hareza kamechabik es hamelech is like hugging the king. Derech mashal. She'ein hefresh b'mailas his karvus. If you hug the king, right? Person who's able to hug a king means very close to the king, correct? Now, there's no difference in terms of how close you are to the king, with veikusa, how connected you are to the king. Bein mechabke shelavush levush echad, bein shelavush kam levush shim machshaguf menavaseicha. There's no difference if you embrace the king if he's wearing one piece of clothing or he's wearing 100 pieces of clothing. You have the king. The king's there. You got him. And so to the same thing. So if the king embraces you with his arm, the king gives you a hug. But he's wearing a very thick fur coat. Right? You don't feel his flesh. Do you say the king didn't hug me? Of course the king hugged you. It says Hashem's right hand hugs us, embraces us. It's the Torah given from the right hand of Hashem. Hashem's kindness, Hashem's water, which is undiluted. Yes, so true. When you learn the human Torah, the base Torah, the Bereshis Torah, of course, Hashem embedded himself in a human language. That's what he wanted to do. He brought it all the way down, the water. And that's how we learn it. We don't feel God. We're talking about meat and milk, cow and donkey, wool and linen. That's what we're talking about. So it's things we relate to. It's not so, the terminology is not so godly, but we're learning these ideas that are God's wisdom. And therefore, it's a huge, thick coat that's almost hiding and surrounding the king. But the king's there. And that's the greatness of Torah mitzvahs. And that's why the levushim of the neshama, the garments of the neshama, right? The garments of the neshama, which is machshava, dibur, maaseh, thought, speech, and action, right? Which is the thought, speech, and action of Torah mitzvahs with the nefesh lakis, is far superior than the neshama itself, because it does for the neshama what the neshama cannot do on its own. The neshama cannot grasp Hashem, but if it gets dressed in the levushim and the garments of Torah mitzvahs, it's grabbing Hashem himself, which is taking the neshama to a whole other level.
Can I share a story with you?
Yeah, please.
Very short story. On Thursday morning, leaving here after.